A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How's it going?
I'm good, Gabe.
Good to hear. I saw you do a poll today, and I'm glad that you did this poll. It makes me feel good as a former Tiger football player. But last 30 years in Tiger football history, what is the best day? You had beating UT, 2003 New Orleans Bowl, game day SMU win, 2015 Ole Miss win. I think a lot of the older fans have picked UT, but I don't know if there's much debate. I think the game day SMU win, getting into the Cotton Bowl, ultimately what it meant for the program, that's got to be the top, right? I don't think there's that much of a debate.
I don't think there was any debate. I don't think there was much debate at all. In fact, it was, at least last I checked my poll, it was overwhelming. And we knew, honestly, when you asked that question, and the reason I even asked the poll is I saw David Rudd tweeted out highlights from that game, and I found myself yesterday afternoon, you know, watching highlights from the game, and it's spectacular. I mean, it's just spectacular. It doesn't even include the highlights from game day itself, which was spectacular as well. So I don't think there's much debate, honestly, on the greatest day in Memphis football, honestly, history, period, much less the last 30 years. I did it the last 30 years because really – that's when I arrived, and so that's what I can speak to intelligently. So I don't think there's much debate. I think the debate, honestly, is about what else even like should have been on there.
Right.
Like, for example, we put the New Orleans Bowl on there, which may look silly because some are like, well, the Cotton Bowl isn't on there, you know. Like, but the truth of the matter is, the Cotton Bowl season. That game was great. It was great to walk into the Cotton Bowl and see all the Memphis fans. It was a celebration of the ride and everything. But I think, honestly, getting to the New Orleans Bowl, I mean, the Cotton Bowl was represented by game day, like, and all that, like,
yeah,
that era. And so the New Orleans Bowl was, people may not believe it who didn't live it, but after they hadn't been in a bowl forever, to make it back to a bowl had people, you know, crying. It was incredibly emotional. So we put that on there. But then there's a couple of wins. Yeah, there's the win over Ole Miss when they beat Eli is not included on there. The actual conference championship win over Cincinnati isn't included on there. You know, someone else mentioned the UCLA win. I don't consider that quite in the same category. But what it reminds you of, just, you know, ticking through them, is how many there have been and how memorable it has been lately. Because I think I think it's pretty clear, and some people might pick the Tennessee game, but I think it's pretty clear that that game day was number one. But after that, the debates about what comes next, I think everyone will have the ones that are meaningful. That triple overtime, you know, bowl game, obviously against BYU, was unbelievable. Great fun. So there's a lot that could fit on that ballot. We just only had room for four.
Now, you're going to have to school me on the UT win. I understand it's over Peyton, and it was phenomenal, and it's the only win they've ever had over Tennessee in football. Like, I understand all that. But a lot of these other ones you picked, like there was a backdrop of what is to come. There's a backdrop of, oh, more happened after this. Tennessee, that win didn't necessarily – it didn't indicate times to come. It didn't indicate anything that was going to happen.
It wasn't systematic of anything.
So school me on that, like, because it feels like a lot of the older fans latch on to that as that is the moment.
Well, I think even the older fans, most of them pick SMU.
Right.
But I can totally see an argument for Tennessee as number two. Yes, the thing that did not have going for it, that, for example, the win over Cincinnati did, was that it was not part of anything, right? It was just one day.
Yep.
That's it. It wasn't a program on the rise. It wasn't anything. It was just one miraculous day. Just like Chaminade beating Georgetown one day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there are other great upsets that have happened that don't have to signify something else. Except for the fact that they were magnificent. And for Tennessee fans, and for Memphis fans who have lived in the shadow of Tennessee for forever, who have been called Tiger High, really don't hear that anymore, but you used to a lot. Tiger High forever. To have that day when you fell Tennessee and you get to parade the goalposts, and I mean, it is, I can acknowledge that and totally agree and endorse that there has never been a day like game day in Memphis football history, but I don't need to detract from the gloriousness of the Tennessee win for long-suffering Memphis fans, you know, in order to do that. It was the thing that it did not have going for it was, you correctly identify, it wasn't representative of anything other than one. And honestly, even that day, no one expected them to win, and even halfway through the game, it wasn't a particularly thrilling game. It was just sort of, they hung around and like, holy crap, they're gonna win,
right?
Like, you didn't. It was a tremendous defensive performance. Tony Williams was the nose tackle, and he was creating havoc, and Peyton couldn't do anything, and it was kind of a gloomy day. But no, you never thought they were going to win. So even the truth of the matter is, even the day itself really looks great in retrospect and in the last 10 minutes. But it wasn't a day that was, you know, the SMU game started the lead up to it.
Yes.
And then getting up at 5 a.m. and getting down there. And it was, I mean, it literally was a 6 a.m. till,
I mean, Jeff, I couldn't walk to
party.
My seat when I was at the stadium. Couldn't walk through the stadium. It was just, it was packed.
Crazy. And it was packed with purely Memphis.
Yes.
You know,
as opposed to the Ole Miss 2015 or Ole Miss 2019.
Now, Ole Miss 2015 was pretty good. You know, like, it was pretty good. It was pretty damn heavily Memphis, and I thought that game was sensational in terms of one that I would, you know, that I certainly will remember for a long time. But game day was its own thing. In fact, so then I started asking, well, what's to come? Like, we have all these memories from the past,
right?
You know, and I think under Ryan, the only one that you'd put up there, like, what games do you remember under Ryan? Well, there's the beating Mississippi State was pretty good. Like, that was,
yep,
it was crazy, but it was pretty good. I think beating UCF, though, is probably the one that you would circle with Ryan. What do you think?
Yeah, because he hadn't done it,
and because it was, you know, Brady had lost all his weapons, right? And yet he comes out and has maybe the best day he's ever had, honestly. So that was great. But what's to come? And the truth of the matter is that, like we were asking, like, are they? You can totally imagine if they have a season this year where their only loss is to Florida State, and it's not, you know, and it's reasonably close, and you are the best group of five team, and you're in the conference championship game, and you win the conference championship game, to go, and knowing if you win it, you're going to go to the playoff, like that's another day that you'll be able to put up there with these, right? That's one that sort of you can imagine. I wouldn't necessarily predict it, but you can certainly imagine anything that happening even this year.
Yeah. What is cool, and obviously I know you're not like super in tune with the release of College Football 25 by EA Sports, but it is cool to see sort of the brand recognition that Memphis does have in those circles. Like Memphis now is in this realm of, you know, people do their online dynasties. They want to play right. with them. You know, they're the highest rated group of five team in the game. Like the brand recognition, all the alternate jerseys, all the lore around it, the Liberty Bowl itself, well, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, it's starting to become more of a brand than we've ever seen in the history of this program. I think that means something. And obviously you want to see the everything sort of go right next year. But I love seeing that part of it as well.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, I think the brand during that, you know, the Fuente and then particularly the Norvell era,
sure.
The brand, it started, Memphis football meant something, right? It wasn't just, oh, they have a football team there. It conveyed a sense of this is what Memphis football is. And it was a style of play as well, honestly. And it felt like, with the jerseys too, the jerseys, the style of play, the whole thing, right? It honestly felt like over the last few years, they've gotten away from that a little bit. The brand has been to some extent diminished because they haven't been as high flying as they were. They just haven't been, right? You hope that this year with the weapons that they have back and the experienced quarterback they have back, that they reclaim a little bit of what that style of play, of that sort of, you think Memphis football and you think, oh, this is what it means. And watching that game against SMU, it was totally a, you know, example of that. Like, you know, it felt like every game back then was in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, Memphis was scoring.
Well, it had to be, Jeff. I can tell you that from experience.
It also had to be. Yeah. No, I mean, I was talking to Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian the other day about this year's team and about, you know, what there is to worry about. And he was talking about all the incoming transfers who are going to be in the secondary. And I said, yeah, I said, the problem is I have PTSD. Like part
yes.
of being a Memphis football follower
100%.
is just thinking about people running wide open. It's
yes.
not under Ryan, just for the last 10 years, people running wide open.
In preseason conversations being, well, the defense is going to be improved this year. It's going to be improved.
Every year. Defense
no doubt.
Is going to be improved this year. Defense is going to improve this year. And then there's just a guy 10 yards open, 30 yards down the field. You're like, what the hell?
It is
weird. You can't do it. Go ahead.
It is kind of funny to me, Jeff, too. Like I was on Jason and John last week. And we're just talking through all this stuff, and they're asking me about the defense and, you know, what I think about the defense. And I go, I don't know what to think about the defense because of this exact conversation we're having.
Right.
We always say it's going to be improved, and it never really is. But I gave them this little trivia question. The last 5 years, they've had one defense in the top half of the AAC standings defensively, in total defense. Name which team that is. You don't have to look that far. No, it's 2019 when they went to the Cotton Bowl. It's not that complicated. If they can somehow, and I think in the SEC, because we have SEC Media Days going along right now, Tennessee and Ole Miss always fit in this category as well. If your defense can at least be average, the offense can carry the day. You can win as much as your heart desires, as long as you get that defense to a top half average category. But if you continue to hang back, you may lose games that you shouldn't lose.
Well, and it's funny because it was not always thus. And then what they always say is that the hardest thing to find in football is the big uglies, right? Who can really move, right? So is a 6'6" offensive lineman with the, you know, feet of a gazelle, right? Or a pass rusher who's a monster and can run the 4.5, whatever. Is it supposed to be this hard to find defensive backs? Like I don't know. Like it seems to be. They always used to be able to find defensive backs. They actually had quite a tradition of of defensive backs at this school. Way back when, as far back as Derek Burrows, first round draft pick of my beloved Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
And it has been a struggle. Bobby McCain, another one, like great. I was just looking back at some of the early Fuente teams. So, I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting.
There's even DBs that have been on bad defenses that are still making their way around the NFL. Quindell Johnson, right. Arthur Mollett, who did not play on a good defense, but he has carved out a great career as a nickel in the NFL.
Lonnie Ballantyne was like a, yes. Didn't he get Lonnie Ballantyne?
He kicked around for a little bit. Jacoby Francis is a guy who's still kicking around the NFL. Like, there's been multiple guys that have had the talent. It's just never really come to fruition. And the other part of this is, like, they were asking me about the defensive backfield when I was, again, on with Jason and John last week. And, you know, as much as I want to believe in the defense, that's going to be my biggest question. Because it looked like in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl with Jordan Hankins as the DC, the linebacking core, they have some guys up front, P.J. Lucas, big defensive tackle, run stuffers. I think they'll be good against the run. But let's not forget, last year in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, they still allowed 430 yards passing and four TDs. Like, it's still something you have to have a massive question about heading into this season. Probably the biggest question on the entire roster.
I think that's right. I think it's, So, but anyway, it was fun to think about, and it was fun. Just sort of here we are in the middle of July, and it really has been. I mean, it's what you point out, is that you know, obviously the coming of the Grizzlies is the most significant thing that has happened in this century for this city in terms of sports, but the changed reputation of the football program has been really significant and a lot of fun. And the fact that there's so many games that you can look back on with such fondness, you know, is a development that I don't think people would tell me, you know, well, there was a year they beat Alabama. Travis Greer was telling me about the year they beat Auburn back to back, but as you point off, those felt more like one-offs than you know, a part of a program truly in ascendance.
All right, you know I'm a big transition guy. You brought up reputations. I want to get to some reputations with SEC Media Days because Georgia let off. Kirby Smart actually spoke on what he's been doing behind the scenes to fix these reckless driving offenses. 18 months ago, you had a staffer and a player killed. Devin Willock was killed. Chandler LaCroix, the staff member, was killed as well in a reckless driving incident that involved Jalen Carter, now with the Eagles. But since then, 24 different incidences that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution pointed out in that 18-month period since those deaths. And Kirby spoke on it today, and he said that he has done something. He said he's fined players collectively around six figures for reckless driving offenses. Now, I know that this is sort of the first time he's actually mentioned doing something, but this is better than nothing, but clearly he's got to do more.
Well, first of all, let's just stop and acknowledge that this idea of fining players is something that is totally new in the world of NIL. You know, I literally have never heard of a program fining players before, so that was eye-opening for me. But my position on this is very clear. If he wanted to stop it, not totally, but basically, he could. You know how right now, if you just talk about, you know, any crime anywhere, what people are constantly talking about is we need instant punishment and stiffer sentences, right? And that way they'd teach them a lesson and they wouldn't. Well, the one place you can actually do it, because there's not a court system and there's not a, you know, constitution that you have to do before you take away someone's playing time or whatever else, the one time you can actually have severe punishment that is instant is this circumstance. And if he simply, if it was unacceptable such that if you, you know, are caught, if you so much as get a speeding ticket, you will sit out the next game or maybe two games or will be like whatever, like it would stop. It would like you have the complete capacity to stop this. I do know that, I've talked to friends who are deeply involved with college athletics who say the thing that they worry about now that they didn't used to is guns and cars because people have money and because in our society, what do we have? We got guns and we got cars. And if you have a, you know, Lamborghini with your NIL money, it's not built to go 55, you know? So I get that it's a challenge and it is not exclusive to college football. But if Kirby Smart wanted to stop it, and you would think, given the deaths, he might want to stop it, I 100% believe it is completely in his power to stop it. This is not something where you just have to shrug and say, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to say, listen, if you get caught going 10 miles over the speed limit or more, it is instant. You are sitting out the next game. Period, or two games, or whatever. Like, come with a punishment that will get people's attention so that the teammate will say, we can't do that. Like, you don't call the crazy stuff, but you got to drive within 10 miles of the speed limit.
Yep.
It's just not that hard. Even reckless kids, if you learn that that is a priority of the program, will conform to the priority of the program.
Yep. Yep. And here's the point I tried to make about it, too. Because I compared Nick Saban and his first 8 years at Alabama and Kirby Smart first 8 years at Georgia, right? Kirby Smart got in earlier, so he's younger than Nick Saban was. Nick Saban was well into his 50s. Kirby Smart's still like 47. Like, he's still a young man for the most part as a college coach, and he's doing an unbelievable job. But through his first 8 years at Georgia, 94-16, two national championships. Nick Saban, 94-17 with three national championships. So he's pacing him really well. But the problem that lies in sort of this comparison is if he continues to allow things like this to happen, he's going to be the closest coach to Saban in this new age of college football. I fully expect that. But if he allows things to happen like this, legacy-wise, you end up more in a category of Urban Meyer than Nick Saban ultimately. Because Nick Saban, yeah, there were some things that happened off the field at Alabama. He had some issues off the field, but never in this capacity, never this often. And I think that Kirby Smart's got to get a hold on that, or that's the conversation we're going to be having about him. Is it more like Urban Meyer or Nick Saban? You have to get a control of the entire program, not just on the field. You do. That's that is the job of a college football coach.
Well, I agree with that. I'll say this. As many problems as they've had, when you ask me about Kirby Smart, I don't think lawless. You know, that's not what I don't think. When you ask me about Urban Meyer, I sort of do, you know, like, now, but that's also framed by, you know, it's framed by what we subsequently learned about Aaron Hernandez. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's framed by what then happened after Ohio State. It's framed by all of that stuff. So it wasn't just Florida. The truth of the matter is that Urban Meyer was at Florida. A lot of bad stuff was happening, and mostly he was just known as a great coach. Right? Like, it hadn't really dented his reputation yet. And I don't think that this has really much dented Kirby Smart's reputation. Oh, it could.
It could.
I also just think, honestly, forget legacy. Just in the interest of decency, once you have had people literally die, you know, because of this, you would think you would want to make it a priority. Like, wouldn't you? Like, you would just think, in the interest of decency and safety to those around you, it's craziness that you don't put a stop to this when you very clearly have the ability to do it. That's the thing. It's
yep.
It's so obvious to me that they have the ability to do it. So, but you know, these, what were there? There are two recent offenses.
Yep.
They win another national championship this year. No one's going to, two speeding, you know, offense, reckless driving things, unless there's some catastrophe that results or whatever else. I don't think is gonna you know, dent his reputation. I mean, it is funny
he
though.
Can
like,
win
even
two.
Tom Osborne,
yeah.
Tom Osborne, you think about as a great coach, but then you also think this is all these years later. Lawrence Phillips playing,
yes.
You know, playing after he, like, it is absolutely part of his reputation forever.
I think that if he lets this continue to spiral out of control, it very well will be part of his reputation. Even when he won two back-to-back national championships, what was the conversation? When you get to SEC Media Days, when you get in front of these guys, they immediately bring up the reckless driving. So that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, last thing for Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show. Home Run Derby, what did you think? I thought the on-field product was fine. Anything that was surrounding it was an absolute disaster. I thought it was an abject disaster with everything besides home runs being hit.
Yeah, I mean, the home runs were, it was actually, you know, ridiculously, it was fun, it was competitive,
yeah.
Like in at the end, right, literally up to the end. And then, you know, the biggest story obviously was the anthem.
Yeah.
And I played it on my show this morning, and it's an atrocious anthem. And you sort of, everyone was laughing at her. And then she puts out the statement that she did today, saying that she was drunk and is going into rehab. And, like, it's funny, there's some people who instinctively react with skepticism about that. Like, oh, the old, I'll go to rehab, I'm troubled, you know, excuse. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to, I listen, if that's at the bottom of the barrel for her, if that's her bottom, it's a very public, humiliating bottom, and I hope she gets the help that she needs.
I just hope
she gets the help she needs, and it is certainly a memorable anthem.
Yeah.
And maybe in 2 or 3 years we'll have her singing it again sober, and it'll be a great American redemption story.
I don't know. I don't know if it will. I mean, I'm one of the skeptical people because I've seen
you are.
There's a lot of good singers out there. I just know this from experience. Good singers don't become bad just because they drink
alcohol.
Drunk?
So what do you think? Do you think she's a bad singer? What's the explanation?
Yes, that's the explanation. I think it's that simple. I don't think she's a good singer.
You can find her singing very well on the internet. Like, there's much better than I can or you can. Even you can, I imagine. Like, she seems in other venues to be even not highly.
She's been nominated for Grammys. I get it.
She has, yeah. So I think she's probably a good singer. Now, Jeffrey was, at first, before this explanation came out, he was speculating that there was some feedback on the headphones or whatever, like, or what I'm, you know, and then this comes out. I don't know. I think I'll buy the explanation. She was drunk, and I really do. Like I alcohol can do some, you know, some incredibly damaging things to people. And so it might be, you know, I think some people think it's just convenient as a marketing ploy. How am I going to get out of this? Right. To say, oh, I'm going to rehab. Right. But to me, that also diminishes the real need for some people to go to rehab and the real struggles that people have with substances, which are real. And so I it was a little bit of a flip message at the end that she, I don't have the wording in front of me, but it was a little flip. She got whatever. And I, it's fine if people want to be cynical. I just hope that, I hope that, like with anyone, I hope that she, that this is a very public bottom for her. You know, people talk about bottoms, and if this is the bottom, let's hope it is. It's a very public bottom, a very humiliating moment for her. Can you imagine what it was like trying to go to, I guess, sober or drunk, trying to go to sleep after you knew that in front of the world
you
just totally bombed? Yeah.
Just not great. And honestly, probably your public intro... introduction to like most of the people watching last night. I had no idea who Ingrid Andress was before last night.
100%. You're Googler, and most people had never heard of her.
Yep.
And oh yeah, she's the woman who butchered the national anthem.
Yep.
100%.
Anyway. You, better or worse than Fergie? Let's go at the NBA All-Star game. You're picking the lesser of two evils, though. I mean, it's still.
Yeah, I think Fergie was worse, maybe.
Okay, all right.
This woman, Ingrid, she started out okay. You know, it was okay for a while. Like, I heard it was I didn't listen to it live. I heard it was a disaster, and I'm starting to listen to it. I'm like, this is bad, but it's not like Kyle Lewis bad or anything, you know? And then it got really bad. By the time she got
to the word free, it got as bad as it possibly could have been. I hope she gets the help she needs, but that was bad. But Jeff, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, man.
See you.
Thanks. That's Jeff Calkins. At Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9-11 right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Now, today is a big day for all NFL fans around the world because we have training camp report day for rookies. The Bills, Bears, Chargers, Chiefs, Dolphins, Giants, Saints, and 49ers rookies all reported to training camp today. And with that, we have the intro into the NFL season. And that means it's list season as well. ESPN has done a bunch of surveys, and they surveyed execs, scouts, coaches, all ranking their top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. I want to go over the results of this list And do I think it is good? Do I think it is bad? I will give you my opinions next. 92.9 FM ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN. Also on the free Odyssey app. Make sure you download that. But it is officially, in my opinion, with a bunch of teams, eight teams in particular, reporting rookies to minicamp. It is, or training camp, I should say. It is NFL season. And with that, we have a bunch of lists that have been published. I know people have been looking through these on ESPN Plus, but the most notable one is quarterback position, because we have debates around quarterbacks all of the time. Now, ESPN, as they normally do, surveyed a bunch of executives, scouts, and coaches to rank all of the position groups, including quarterback. And the results, quite interesting for the most part, in my opinion. Now, we'll start with the honorable mentions here for this top 10 list. Honorable mentions right on the outside looking in: Brock Purdy from the 49ers, Packers Jordan Love, Eagles Jalen Hurts, Dolphins Tua Tagovailoa, Falcons Kirk Cousins, and Jaguars Trevor Lawrence. Those are the six quarterbacks that got votes, but ultimately did not get into the top 10. Now, the top 10 is as follows: Dak Prescott at number 10, Jared Goff at number 9, Aaron Rodgers at number 8, even having not played basically all of last year. Number 7, after one good rookie year, which I honestly don't have this big of an issue with where he's ranked, C.J. Stroud. 6, Justin Herbert. 5, Matt Stafford. 4, Lamar Jackson. 3, Josh Allen. 2, Joe Burrow. And number 1, Patrick Mahomes. No issue with number 1. I have two massive issues with this list and how it was voted upon. And it may sound ridiculous, but I think it starts at number 2. To have Joe Burrow ahead of the likes of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is absolutely, positively insane to me. There's a couple reasons why. One, Joe Burrow is oft injured. He has two seasons where he only played 10 games, and in those seasons, the Bengals were very bad. They didn't have a chance to make the playoffs. It was his rookie season, then last year, and the Bengals really flailed around, didn't have much, couldn't get anything done. So he has to...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Stay on the field for an extended period of time for me to fully buy in to him being ahead of the likes of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen has been a consistent mainstay for the Bills, has lifted them up into the tops of the AFC, and he stays on the field constantly. Now, Lamar Jackson has some issues with injuries, but let's not forget he's a two-time MVP winner. I think that as a two-time MVP winner, you should be up over a guy like Joe Burrow, who is injured and also, I think, has some questions about his future with the wrist injury. So that's my first issue with this list. And then as you go down, you have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford I love. Don't get it twisted. I think he's a great quarterback. And I thought he really maximized what the Rams did last year, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They were a playoff team. We were surprised. How did this happen? I think Matt Stafford did a hell of a job. But when you throw him ahead of the likes of Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, and Dak Prescott, I think you are missing the plot completely. I think you are. Justin Herbert has a lot more that he can grow upon. He's now going to be playing under Jim Harbaugh, and the Chargers should be a whole lot better. He doesn't have a whole lot of guys to throw to, but we know that he's one of the young bright stars in the National Football League at the quarterback position. C.J. Stroud, after his rookie year, the amount of growth he can have, I think, should put him ahead. Aaron Rodgers, this is the opposite of the guys I just mentioned. I don't like Aaron Rodgers as a human being at times. He tends to be annoying. He's way too involved in conspiracy theories. He's a huge distraction for the New York Jets. But this also is a Super Bowl winner and a guy who's won the MVP multiple times over. Based on the history that he has under his belt, I know he was hurt all last year, Aaron Rodgers should jump him. Jared Goff is a guy who was in the NFC Championship last year. Just got a massive deal. Has been consistent every step of the way. We thought that him going to the Lions, he was just going to completely fall off the face of the earth. The Rams castigated him, threw him to the side. He wasn't good enough to play for Sean McVay. They got Matt Stafford. I know they won a championship. But Jared Goff has proven every step of the way that he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. Then Dak Prescott, he was an all-pro last year. I know that we talk about playoff success and everything like that. He's not been able to get over the hump. But Dak Prescott has been a consistent contributor in this league for a while. Matt Stafford has an elbow issue. Matt Stafford only threw 24 touchdowns last year with Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Tyler Higbee, all these different weapons around him. It just seems like way too late in the career to put Matt Stafford in a top five category. It just is way too late in his career. I think that he is a guy who, when we look back at his career, we will look back at him, especially with his Super Bowl, as a borderline Hall of Famer. I truly believe that. He's thrown for 56,000 yards in his career. He is really, really good. Now, he has been in a quarterback-rich era, so he's not got the Pro Bowls and the All-Pros to really go with it, but he's been phenomenal every step of the way. But at this point in his career, late in his career, on the brink of retirement in all likelihood, to have him in the top five seems absolutely insane. Now, it brings me to the question that I really wanted to ask about this list and the honorable mentions. The honorable mentions: Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Kirk Cousins, and Trevor Lawrence. Who's most likely to jump into this list after next year? Who is least likely to jump into this top 10 list after next year? And I have an answer. I have two answers for who's most likely, one answer for who is least likely. It may surprise you. The two most likely, I think Brock Purdy and Jordan Love. Starting with Brock Purdy, I think he will jump directly into this list because I know that he may be missing Brandon Ayuk. We'll see what happens there, but he has too many weapons around him to fail. He has too many weapons around him to fail. Doesn't make mistakes with the football, is a great game manager, does a great job placing the football, and he plays for the San Francisco 49ers. I don't think he'll have a misstep next season. I think the 49ers are still the best roster in the NFC. I think that will hold. And then Jordan Love with the Packers. I think they've made some steps in the right direction. But let's think about Jordan Love and what he was able to accomplish last year in a prove-it year. Jordan Love, think about who he's throwing to. Christian Watson, hurt for most of the year, rookie, and Romeo Doubs, his leading receiver. 32 TDs, 11 interceptions, a 96.1 rating, and he threw for 4,200 yards. He won a game in the playoffs in his first year starting. There are a lot of quarterbacks that never reach a season like that. Jordan Love was brought in to replace Aaron Rodgers. There was a lot that was said about him. He could have been discouraged through that process. He sat down for a couple of years. But when you look at his body of work, what he is able to accomplish, the arm talent he possesses, the amount of winning he's already done in his young career, I think this is a guy who can break in and be a star at the quarterback position going forward. And the Packers have a good track record. Now, least likely, I know people are going to be very, very surprised with my answer here. But I think it's very obvious. And that brings me out to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence. Now, Trevor Lawrence came into the league, number one overall pick, second coming of Christ in a lot of people's eyes. He was great at Clemson, won a natty. He was a five-star, one of the best quarterback prospects we have ever seen get into the college football game, and that led him to being one of the best quarterback prospects at the NFL level. But go look at his body of work. Did he get the Jacksonville Jaguars to 9-8 to lead the comeback against the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs 2 years ago? Sure, that was his best year as a pro, threw for 4,100 yards, 25 TDs to 8 interceptions. But don't look past last year. You had Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley. You had all these guys in your corner that you felt comfortable with from a year before. You had all this continuity. It should have been building upon what you did in year two in a Jaguars uniform. But you know what? He didn't do that. He was thoroughly average last year. He was an average quarterback. Maybe top 15, not much higher. 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, an 88 rating, and only barely got over the 4,000-yard mark with all of the weapons that he had the year before in that great season. Some will say Doug Peterson, maybe his offense is getting stale. We saw it happen with the Eagles. That could be the problem. But when you watch Trevor Lawrence, I'm going to be honest, he does nothing that is overly exceptional. He's got good arm talent, not the best arm talent. Decent accuracy, not the best accuracy. Okay pocket presence, not the best pocket presence. Decent athleticism, not the best athleticism. He's an average quarterback. And the more I think we need to sort of come to accept that, the better I think we will be. I understand what he was coming out of Clemson. I understand how much lore came with that. National champion winner, unbelievable stats, great prospect coming out of high school. But the more you watch him in the NFL, the more you realize he's closer to Kirk Cousins than he is a guy like Josh Allen. It is that simple. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to go ahead and get to Small Talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now let's head out to the New York Post. Ryan Glasspiegel writes for them, and he reported on a story, got the scoop on this. Skip Bayless, long time television host, he's going to be done at FS1. He's leaving FS1 and his role as a co-host for Undisputed after 8 years. His final show will be later this summer. What has been cited is he wants a change of scenery, and their ratings have been struggling really, really badly since Shannon Sharpe left the show. His final show, again, will be later this summer. Now, as to where he's going to go, I have no idea, Connor. This is going to be very interesting to watch. With ESPN, ESPN is very uninterested in a reunion with him, and a ESPN spokesperson even told Front Office Sports, "We are set with the current First Take rotation and wish Skip the best on his future endeavors." That's the last thing they had to say. My first response to this, though, is Shannon Sharpe deserves a lot of flowers. He kept that thing going. He kept that thing on the rails, and not but 8 months after Shannon Sharpe decided to step away because of Skip's nonsense, it is completely ceasing to exist. Undisputed as we know it is over. And we understand why Skip Bayless became the guy he was. Obviously, with the Dallas Morning News, he was a good columnist, did a really good job. But then the debate shows, he's kind of the king or the creator of the debate shows. He was with Stephen A. Smith, really did a good job with that. By good job, I mean brought ratings, brought eyeballs to it. But then, obviously, that has dissipated over the years. But he couldn't make it 8 months without Shannon Sharpe. Shannon Sharpe has done a really good job. I think that this is the first thing we need to acknowledge when we're talking about Skip Bayless stepping away from FS1. Shannon Sharpe's phenomenal at his job and kept that thing going for as long as he could.
He's such a good interviewer. He lets people speak. He doesn't interrupt them. I very much enjoy his long-form show because you feel like you get to know the person that he's talking to, and he's not just trying to go get sound bites. He's not just trying to have these moments. He's not trying to just have these debates. He's trying to get to know the person and allow them to tell their story. I think he's done a phenomenal job, and, you know, I mean, just go look at what Skip tweeted out this morning for their show. Have you seen it, what they talked about today?
They talked about Bronny and
Bronny,
winning the Call of Duty Summer League.
Bronny won the Summer League Call of Duty tournament. What does that tell you about him? That he's 19 years old?
Yeah, and they also said when they talked about it, they said it was a bad look.
Nobody cares about this. No one wants to tune in and hear hating, negativity all the time. And if we're being quite honest about it, it's disingenuous. You know, this is a bit, and at some point it gets old. The bit is old. Hating on everything, having this big character. Talk about sports. Talk about the games. Talk about actual players who matter. Talking about Bronny and Call of Duty is not what I'm wanting to tune into on my morning sports shows. It's
also
quite ridiculous.
Skip got to a point where it was caricature. It was
exactly.
It was to the point. It's exactly right. You didn't believe he believed what he was saying.
Nope.
He was saying it strictly to try to get people to tune in, strictly to make clips out of it, to put viral, you know, moments out. That's all it became by the end of this whole thing. And I think that's what rubbed Shannon Sharpe the wrong way, and now why he is ultimately with Stephen A. Smith doing a heck of a job for the most part. Now, here's a big picture conversation that I want to have about Skip Bayless now being done and the debate show at Undisputed, one of the biggest debate shows over the years, being probably dissolved here relatively soon. Does this indicate anything about where we're at as far as sports talk shows are concerned?
I think so.
I think ESPN needs to take a look at this and understand that the direction they have gone may not be the perfect direction for their network. You have debate shows, you have Pat McAfee, you have these high-paid guys that have a lot of power over you, like Skip Bayless had over Fox, and you see Fox completely flailing around, not knowing what their direction's going to be. I think ESPN needs to take a step back and try to evaluate this. Is this the best direction we have to go forward with First Take and Pat McAfee running our entire network?
I really do think it's a simple solution. People want the old version of ESPN back.
Yes.
They want the old version of sports programming back.
Highlights.
It's that simple. Highlights. Shows where you know, stump the Schwab type stuff. Things where you feel like you're learning. You're tuning in and you're actually gaining knowledge from these people. You have hosts interviewing experts.
Yes.
You have anchors interviewing experts. You have field reporters reporting in on things. It was an actual show. Every single time, I've said it many times the last few weeks on this show, I would wake up as a kid, turn on ESPN, sit down and not move
and
for the entire
day. And watch the cycle like three times.
Because it was highly entertaining, because I felt like I was learning something. I felt like I understood what was going on in all of the leagues. Even the NHL, I felt like I understood
right.
what was going on.
Right.
You and I were joking about it, I think this week or last week on the show, how outside of the Red Sox and the Cardinals and the teams in my division, I have no idea what the hell's going on in baseball. I don't know what's going on in the NHL anymore. The only reason I know what's going on in the NBA, NFL, and college football and college basketball. Because I'm locked in on those things because they matter to Memphis sports. I miss learning from ESPN. I miss it actually being entertainment. Now it's just people yelling at each other over whether Stephen A. Smith can beat LeBron one-on-one before an NBA Finals game happens. What are we doing? Go backwards. Go backwards. I feel like this is us, you know, yelling at the clouds, old man. But it's not that far away.
I think a lot of things are cyclical. I think entertainment, sports, you know, playbooks in the NFL, how games are played. I think everything's cyclical. Things come back.
Yeah.
Things start to get back into the game. And I think we're getting to a point where sports television And what people latch onto, it's not legacy talk. It's not, you know, whoever can make the most viral moment. People want to see legitimate sports highlights. They want to see people talk with a relative amount of sense about these topics, and we're not getting that.
Do you know when debates are exciting and interesting? Is when they happen naturally.
Yes.
They would happen naturally. You can't fake it. You can't manufacture them. People can smell BS from a mile away. That's the issue.
There's no doubt about it.
Stop trying to feed us scripted content.
You can tell when someone is told to disagree with a host.
Yes.
You can tell when people pick opposite sides just for the sake of it. And that's what Undisputed became, and I think we're starting to see that percolate into First Take.
I don't tune in for hot takes, period.
Yeah.
Period. I don't care. I don't want to hear a hot take from Kendrick Perkins every single day.
Yep. I hear that.
Because I know that he doesn't believe half the stuff he's saying.
Now, where does Skip go? Is he just going to have to do a podcast under some roof?
I don't know. Probably so.
LeBron. Shout out to LeBron. Outlived him.
He outlived him. He outlived Skip Bayless. And he's never really acknowledged him.
Yes. He's always handled it pretty in stride. I'll give him that.
Should he be the new co-host for Mind the Game? Is this how it ends?
I hope not. Mind the Game is about getting people educated on basketball.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody worse.
Oh, that would be amazing, though. Oh, that would be fun, though. LeBron having to teach Skip basketball because it's clear he doesn't really understand it.
Well, but then Skip would just deny that. He's like, no, I've been around. I've followed basketball for 50 years. I know better.
People don't want Jordan versus LeBron debates anymore. They want actual sports discussions.
I think we're getting to that point. We really are.
I think so, too.
Now, hour three is on the way. We're going to open it up. Getting back to normal. Getting back to normal. Our normal Tuesday guest. It'll be Christian Fowler from Bluff City Media right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They want to see people talk with a relative amount of sense about these topics, and we're not getting that.
Do you know when debates are exciting and interesting? Is when they happen naturally.
Yes.
They would happen naturally. You can't fake it. You can't manufacture them. People can smell BS from a mile away. That's the issue.
There's no doubt about it.
Stop trying to feed us scripted content.
You can tell when someone is told to disagree with a host.
Yes.
You can tell when people pick opposite sides just for the sake of it. And that's what Undisputed became, and I think we're starting to see that percolate into First Take.
I don't tune in for hot takes, period.
Yeah.
Period. I don't care. I don't want to hear a hot take from Kendrick Perkins every single day.
Yep. I hear that.
Because I know that he doesn't believe half the stuff he's saying.
Now, where does Skip go? Is he just going to have to do a podcast under some roof?
I don't know. Probably so.
LeBron. Shout out to LeBron. Outlived him.
He outlived him. He outlived Skip Bayless. And he's never really acknowledged him.
Yes. He's always handled it pretty in stride. I'll give him
Should
that.
He be the new co-host for Mind the Game? Is this how it ends?
I hope not. Mind the Game is about getting people educated on basketball.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody worse.
Oh, that would
than
be
Skip
amazing,
Bayless.
Though. Oh, that would be fun, though. LeBron having to teach Skip basketball because it's clear he doesn't really understand it.
Well, but
it.
Then Skip would just deny that he's like, no, I've been around. I've followed basketball for 50 years. I know better.
People don't want Jordan versus LeBron debates anymore. They want actual sports discussions.
I think we're getting to that point. We really are.
I think so, too.
Now, hour three is on the way. We're going to open it up. Getting back to normal. Getting back to normal. Our normal Tuesday guest. It'll be Christian Fowler from Bluff City Media right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.